Okay, I didn't know why you're still sitting there. I was trying to figure that one, that part out there. Because usually you get up and he sits down, and then I kind of know everything's in order. So we're trying to get this whole thing worked out, our sound system worked out. It's doing pretty good. How you like it out there? Sounding all right? Amen. Amen. I think Pastor Jim went back there looking for the cookie. That'll be after service for our August birthdays. I don't know why she's back there looking for that big giant cookie, but anyways. Want to remind everybody about Michael Snyder. You say, man, you tell us that every time we get together. Yep, I sure do. But don't forget, that's coming up Saturday, the 19th of August, and 20th. That's a Sunday. Be praying about it. And the reason I'm bringing it up again is just pray, pray, pray that God would have his way and his will. I believe we're going to have people from all over the place. I talked to Brother Michael the other day, and he let it out to all of his subscribers. And that's a lot of folks, you know, and we know that everybody can't actually get here, but I think it might even overwhelm our live cast. So we're just looking forward to whatever God's going to do. The main thing is that Jesus gets glorified and the word of God gets sent out in a mighty way. So please, please pray for that and be here and bring a friend, and we'll find a way to maybe Velcro them to the ceiling or something. We'll figure something out. But we'll have enough room. God will provide. I want to just tell you a real quick praise report. You know, God has really been blessing the ministry, and he's expanding us and stretching us in different ways. And you know, it's just a matter of time before you're not going to have room in this place. It's really going to be something to behold. You know, we watch God do some great stuff over in the shoebox. Amen. That little building, that's all I know to call it, man. And but it would have been so easy for me to do a mosh pit from the pulpit there. Some of y'all know what a mosh pit is, but I could have just dove from right there on top of Elder or somebody, and they could have body surfing, carried me across the church. It would have been something awesome. There's only three rows. I could probably land on the first row, but and I'm sure you wouldn't catch me. But anyways, I just want to tell you that he's really blessing us, and I'm really looking forward to the future, to the things that are going to take place in Livonia. I'm grateful for our extended family. And by the way, we welcome them tonight on the media platforms. But I'm looking forward to what he's going to do in this house. I believe God's drawing other people to this region in the days to come. We're going to see them here. You're going to see refugees come to this place. And the refugees may not be from too far away cities. So get ready for that. And our hearts have to be open to receive whom I believe the Lord is going to be bringing to us. But yesterday I had a chance to be on a conference call. Clay was on the conference call with me as we talked to the president of the NOW Network and some of his programming people. And they gave us information and an announcement to let us know that we are now going to be on 65 million more homes through the NOW Network. So these are potential people that this ministry is going to have the opportunity with. What that constitutes as far as percentages, I don't know, and I really don't care. You know, I'm not about nickels and noses. I'm just about opportunity for the kingdom. So we'll have now, I guess that would be 75 million, I think, opportunities to be in people's homes. And the real cool thing about this, the video distribution people that are going to be doing this, and he hasn't released the name just yet because the contract is still, the ink is still wet, will be a secular-based video distribution company. So we're going into a secular market with Ignited Life now. And so I love that because that's where we belong. I'm not looking to convert Christians, you know what I mean, or drag Christians over. I mean, I want to help my brothers and my sisters that want to wake up and all that. But I'm looking for the drug addict. I'm looking for the prostitute. I'm looking for the person that's destitute, the atheist, the person that just doesn't believe in God, or the Hindu, or whatever it is. And so this secular opportunity is going to be wonderful. So when I get more information, I'll let you know. But we're good to go. We found out that all of our specs are good to go with what we're doing with HD. So we're ahead of the game, and this is why we've invested like we have. Our sound is where it needs to be. A few tweaks on lighting and some stage stuff that, you know, we can do just to enhance it. But other than that, we're really, really good compared to a lot of other folks. And there were over 200 people that were on that call yesterday. So we were above grade. So amen to that. So I wanted you to know about that, pray over it, and just believe God for the best to take place for Ignited. And this is about the King and the kingdom, not about me and really not about you. Amen. It's all about him. Father, we love you. We just seal up all those announcements in prayer and faith. And just thank you so much. Your will be done, Father. If we can reach one, then that's enough. So whatever you want to do, Father, here we are in Livonia, Georgia. We submit ourselves to you, asking that your name would be glorified, your fame would be spread throughout the earth. Just give us the opportunity, Father, and we will speak truth to the nations of the world. Father, anoint this time together. We honor you and welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Okay, so last time we got together, man, the place looked really good. I like these lights. It's very colorful, beautiful. We got together. We talked about the prayer of expectancy, the prayer of expectancy. I hope that was a teaching that really fired you up, because it really fired me up about knowing that I can speak the word of God and declare the word of God and watch it work and have that expectancy. So last time we got together, we talked about the power of expectancy is rooted in hope. Hope is the twin dynamic and anchor of faith. They work together. You got to have them. Amen. Their inseparable function, and in fact, it's an absolute scripture fact, faith and hope are the two keys that produce answered prayers. Answered prayers. We went to Hebrews 11:1. Remember that? We talked about faith. We talked about the confidence, the foundation, the tangibility. Hope was the expectancy. And that was the igniter of faith. Your hope is the igniter of faith. Because when you have expectancy, then you are believing and you are anticipating God to answer your prayers. Amen. And that's how he moves. God does not move by needs. He moves by faith. If he moved by needs, we wouldn't have world hunger. We wouldn't have world war. We wouldn't have all the craziness that we have. But God is looking for the church to move by faith to answer some of these needs. Amen. Isaiah 45:11, we talked about that. And Daniel 12:6 was a scripture that I gave to you. Isaiah 43:26, Joshua 10:12, and Matthew 7:7. Remember, expectancy moves heaven. John 2. Man, I love that about Mary and how that she stepped out in faith and how that God responded to the word that was inside of her. See, if you hide the word of God in your heart, you'll always have an answer for every situation. Let me try that one more time. If you hide the word of God in your heart, you'll have an answer for every situation. You won't have to call your pastor up. You wouldn't have to call your favorite preacher's prayer line. You wouldn't have to go get the daily bread scripture references and pluck one out till you find the right one. You have the word hid in your heart. You can pull it out for any circumstance that you face. So John 2, that was awesome. Luke 2:19. We talked about how that she pondered, how that she did what? She put it together. She put all the things about Jesus. Remember, she didn't have the New Testament. Think for a second. She didn't have the New Testament. She had the Old Testament, some of the Pentateuch, the book of Isaiah. She had some of the understanding of the Word of God, but she took what she knew and she hid it in her heart and she knitted it all together. That's what we have to do on this journey of faith, is to knit together the experiences that God has brought us through like a photo album in our heart, and remember the journey. And remember, every time you get in a bad situation, just flip that family album open and say, I remember, man, when I was almost killed in that car accident. What is this situation I'm facing? This ain't nothing. In fact, let me go back a little further in the photo album. I remember when I was near death. Or I was broke and they tried to evict me, and so on and so forth. So that's what hope does. It gives you that expectancy. So tonight on Kingdom Perspectives, and we've been teaching on prayer. And by the way, we're going to get our website to where we can get prayer separate in its position. We've just been so busy with other stuff, and it takes a long time to go through some of the tutorials. But if you're listening tonight and you're wondering where this teaching is, it's under the battle for the mind, or the battle of the mind, whichever title I had there. Okay, the prayer of expectancy part two. I told you if I get a little more download, I was going to minister to you on the prayer of expectancy. And so I did, and so I want to do that. The prayer of expectancy, part two. I want to start out with this opening statement. You get what you expect. You get what you expect. Let me elaborate just a little bit on it. You get what you expect. So many times we blame God, we blame people, we blame situations, we blame circumstances, we blame color, we blame societal levels of finances, or where we're from, where we went to school, where our family. We blame everybody except taking a look at ourselves. Let me try that again. You get what you expect. In other words, when you put your faith and trust in God, it doesn't matter what category I just mentioned. It doesn't matter your address, your zip code. It doesn't matter your DNA. It doesn't matter who your mommy and who your daddy was, is. All that matters is that you have a current relationship of faith with God and that you expect God to do exceedingly abundantly above all you'd ever ask or think, according to what? The power that works within you. You get what you expect. If your attitude is always Snoopy Dog, Linus with the blanket flying around and dust, and why is everybody always picking on me, and I'm never going to be nothing, and man, my brother, he got more favor than I did, and my sister got more milk than I did, and whatever we always say and complain about, you know what? That's not God's fault. The reality is, when you hear the word of faith and you hear the Bible preached to you, you need to decide, is that for me? Am I going to believe this? Am I going to receive this? And if the answer is in the positive, then guess what? You're going to get everything you expect. If it's in the negative, you're still going to get everything you expect. If you expect that somebody's got to give you a handout, if you expect somebody's got to pull you up all the time, then guess what? You will always be in that level where someone has to help you. It's getting real quiet in this Presbyterian monastery. Presbyterian. But it's the truth, isn't it? And I had to learn this the very hard way because I was always blaming everybody else. How many blamers here that you, former blamers? Can we get together, former blamers, united? You know, we have, what, double A, triple A, or whatever we got out there. You know, I mean, I blamed everybody. I was the youngest of four brothers, five total boys, and, you know, I got everything rolled downhill. Come on, somebody. Everything rolled downhill. Never had that, you know, sense of self-achievement or success. It was, you know, everybody else was ahead of me. When you're the runt, you just kind of feel like that, don't you? And I know I don't look like a runt, but mind your own business. And so that really was part of my issues, and I just could not get over that fact. And it became a complex, as I told you guys before, testified. And so I always expect that I would be last. I would expect that no one would pick me on kickball. Has anybody ever been there? Anything like this? And so it even went into some of my adult age until I got saved, and then I got transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you get what you expect, okay? And I want to give you a funny analogy. You know, is your umbrella poked up, you know, how you open it up, in order to stop the rain from falling on you, or do you flip it upside down and catch the rain? I mean, you know, how do you look at life? How do you look at your relationship with God? This is all about the prayer of expectancy. How do you expect God to move in your life? Do you expect him to do something for everybody else, or do you expect him to do something great for you? I can't answer that. Only you can. All right? Write this down. Expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. Expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. Again, you get what you expect. Listen, I expect God to do tremendous, mighty things in this church. I expect him to do mighty things in my life. I expect him to do mighty things in your life. I expect to come in here and you tell me that God just blew your socks off. I really do. I do. For everyone I'm looking at, everybody that's tied to this ministry, those listening now, I expect to get emails and reports of God blessing you, something great happening, a miracle taking place, somebody getting saved on your job, you getting promoted, something great. Why? Because we live in a spirit of expectancy in this house. You can't come in this place for long and act all droopy and dreary. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen from this pulpit, and it ain't going to happen in the pew. Amen? Because we have expectancy. We believe this word. We believe God. Amen. Okay, so that's the breeding ground for miracles. That's why we believe that anything can happen when we get together in the power and the mighty grace of God. So let me give you this definition, and then I'll get on with some scripture. To expect means to wait, to look forward with confidence. To expect means to wait, to look forward with confidence. We got to have expectancy in our lives, especially in these last days. Listen to me. The world is gone crazy. You know that already. We're on the precipice of nuclear war. There's enough pride going around between, you know, these world leaders. I mean, it's almost sickening. It's just ridiculous. But this is where we are. We've got to expect God for great things, or we'll fall into that vortex of depression. You'll fall into that vortex of global doom and gloom. And we're not going to do that. We'll preach truth. We're going to tell it like it is. But we're going to stay above it all with expectancy. Because I expect God to do great things in the middle of horrible times. I really do. I really do. I expect this place to be flooded with people in the midst of crisis and chaos. And we're going to have the answer. We're not going to be floating around on cloud nine and being obnoxious and saying, you know, tis for the world. We're going to be in the same boat, but we're going to have the spirit of expectancy upon us. And with that, miracles will take place. You have to have that. You want to see the coins in the fish's mouth? You got to have expectancy. Do you want to see quail from heaven? You got to have expectancy. Do you want him to multiply the fishes and the loaves of bread? You have to have expectancy. And that's what we're going to have. Amen. So to expect means to wait, to look forward with confidence. It amazes me how secular Christians, and I'm just talking to the church, secular Christians are so excited and so expectant of a paycheck on Friday. But they show up on Sunday, they don't expect God to do squat. Maybe I should be a little more proper. Squat diddly. Or diddly squat. It's however you want to do it. It's all in the squat family. But the reality is we do. We secular Christians that are out there, they have more confidence that they put in their, well, they really work 20 and get paid for 40. But, you know, they work a work week and then they expect, they almost demand that they get that paycheck. In fact, if that paycheck is off one number, my wife has worked payroll for many years, been in accounting over 20-something years. She's dealt with a lot of irate people over a buck. Isn't that right? How many of y'all ever been that irate person for a buck? I have. That's my buck. But the point is, and you're getting it, is that people outside the secular Christianity, they expect more out of their bosses and their paychecks than they do when they come to the house of the Lord on Sunday. And that's wrong. We got to change the culture and the atmosphere of church. And you do that through the prayer of expectancy. You do that through expecting God. I expect great and mighty things. That's why we get together on Sunday and Wednesdays. I don't treat Wednesday and Sunday any different, except for the message and my preparation, because I know what he's going to do on a teaching night. But I'm still expecting somebody to be healed, a miracle to take place, somebody to walk in and get saved, cast out a devil. Amen. So bring your family next time. All right. Hebrews. I'm just trying to help Carla get healed up, because the Bible says that what? Laughter is good as a medicine. She says she brought a little special pillow to help her back. So I'm going to see if we can knock the stuffings out of that one. Amen. All right. Hebrews. And that's not a name of a coffee shop in a church. Hebrews. Let's go there, and I just want to give you some scripture just to bounce around in and give us a foundation that I'm really going to light on a few of them, and we're going to take this thing on to the house. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, man, you know me. I want to read the whole thing. I'll just go to verse 12. But this man, you there, Hebrews chapter 10? verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Let me give you this word for expecting, okay? It's I'm just going to spell it. It's a really hard word to pronounce. It's E-K-D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. I'll read it again. E-K, next time raise your hand. E-K-D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. M as in Michael. Did you get that? One more time. E-K-D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. And that is 1551. Excuse me, 1551. Okay. And just a foundational thing for some of these words in the Greek so you can kind of understand. This word means to wait for the realization of which one is assured. To wait for the realization of which one is assured. In other words, waiting on the guarantee. That would be another way of saying that. I am assured, so I am waiting for that realization. But notice this. It's talking about who? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So one thing I want you to write down is the expectation of heaven. Heaven has an expectation. Did you know that? When I teach the word of faith, I always teach this principle that God has faith in you. And it blows people away because they're like, I don't understand it. No, God has faith in you. Everybody has the measure of faith. Is that right? You have to have faith in order to be born again. It's saving faith. So God put faith in you. When you were born again, he invested his faith in you. That's why you can believe that you're saved. That's why you can believe that there's a heaven someday. That's why you believe on your, you know, when it's time to check out, that you're going to check in to heaven. It's that faith. It's that dynamic of heaven. But it's tied into expectancy. So here we see that there's expectancy in heaven. If there's expectancy in heaven, then there's expectancy on earth. But God expects more out of the church. And I'm not going to get into that because I feel like preaching. I really feel like preaching. You need to be here Sunday. I think we're going to have a ballroom tangle, man. We're going to have a brawl with the devil. I really do. I feel it. But regardless of that, I don't want to lose my track because I'll go there right now. Expectancy. God expects more out of the body of Christ. That's why we need to have the prayer of expectancy. We need to be praying expectantly, saying, God, I expect great and mighty things out of your word and out of the kingdom and out of my church and out of my pastor. I expect these things because God expects it out of us. Come on, if you think people are bored with church services, how much bored is God? I mean, he's bored. I mean, that's why I believe he just travels on to another church. Some people don't understand that, but it's a reality. Okay, so I got to get off of that because I really want to ride that for a minute. So you get that? It's expectancy. I'm expecting. I've been assured. I've been promised. I've been guaranteed. Just like the paycheck, you know. How many all, you know, when someone tells you they're going to give you something, don't you get real expectant about it? I do, man. Like somebody tells me, hey, I'm going to give you this. I'm like, oh, man, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Well, that's what God has inside of us. So go to James chapter 5 real quick. James chapter 5. Woo, man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Pray for our country, y'all. Pray for this nation. Pray for the world. We're in deep trouble. We really, really are in serious, serious trouble. My heart is grieving for this nation. My heart is grieving for this conflict that we're trying to get into. My heart grieves for the lies that are being perpetrated upon the nations. I better leave that alone. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 7. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it and to receive the early and latter rain. The word waiteth there is that word that I just gave you in the Greek. So there is an assurance. Now watch it. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Does a farmer wait for his harvest? Does he wait with biting his fingernails? Or does he wait with the combine harvester knowing it's going to be a harvest time? He's ready to do it. He knows it. He knows the season. He knows the sprouting. He knows the budding. He knows all that stuff. And so he doesn't just sit back and worry on the front porch. He prepares for that harvest. You see, that's the same expectancy. So there is a heavenly expectancy that has been given to us here on this earth. Not the earthly expectancy where we hope for maybe so. It is that absolute God's going to be there. I absolutely believe it because like the husbandman, like the farmer, the gardener, he knows that there's going to be produce at the end of that season, right? We need to do the same. When we sow seed into the kingdom of God, we should put an expectancy upon our money. Just don't throw money in. If it's above your tithe is already earmarked to rebuke the devourer for your sake. But if you put in an offering, you need to expect that offering to go do what you spoke it to do. You declare and you speak to it and you say, I expect a harvest out of that thing. All right. So he waits for it. And then watch. He says long patience. And that means long suffering. In other words, whenever we do things in kingdom, whether it's praying or whether it's giving in expectancy, we have to have the power of patience operating in our life. And that is another teaching that I'll get to at another time. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Just a couple more scriptures, then I'm going to land where I want to go and hang out for a few minutes. Is everybody okay? All right. Romans chapter 8. Oh, man, let's go to verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I'm going to go ahead and read for sake of time. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, really is a bad translation, should be creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay? Waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, when it speaks about the earnest expectation, let me give you another definition. It means this. It means to stretch forth of the head towards an object that is anticipated. Stretching forth or to stretch forth of the head towards an object that is anticipated. Okay? It means to stretch forth with the most extreme desire. The earnest expectation. You know, like a runner who's crossing over a line, you've seen it many times in Olympics or World Games, a guy wins just by his chinny chin chin, just by a freckle on his nose. He stretched forth. He expected the win. Or you see a little bird who stretches its head out to receive its food from its mom. It's that type of stretching, okay? The implication and the application for us is this. There are times when you pray the prayer of expectation that you just stretch out and you just believe God to the fullness of expectation. You just know that God is going to make this thing happen. You know that you know that you know. Okay? It also means this. It means anxious. And there's a positive side to being anxious. It's not the worry side of anxious. It's just it means to be eager. So there's anxious, there's awaiting, and then eagerly. Okay? These are just from the New Testament. just to give you a little bit of glimpse of what expectancy is. So by giving you all this now, and when you go back and listen to the CD or you take your notes and study them a little further than I just gave you, you begin to see that this is not the prayer of complacency. This isn't the prayer of microwave. I'm just going to say this prayer. I really don't mean it, but a pastor said to say it, so here you go. It's not that way. It is just, it's the total believing God, no matter if it takes one day or one year, one month or 10 years, I'm going to see this thing take place. I'm expecting it. I got my neck stretched out. I got my head stretched forward. I mean, I'm just pushing into this revelation, and I believe that I am going to receive this thing. I'm expecting it. Listen now, this isn't about money. This isn't about things necessarily. We can do that with this prayer cross, and we're doing it with this prayer cross. We expect God to act upon Acts chapter 16, verse 31. The believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy whole household. We expect that. We expect it. And you know what else? People who contact this ministry, they attach their expectation with ours. Amen. And so, we need to do our part by expecting God, okay? Everybody got that as a foundation. That's just my introduction. Now you ready? I'm going to teach. Go to Psalms chapter 62. It don't sound like he's going to quit. Hey, Carla brought a pillow. We're going to be here a while. Everybody looking around like, man, I should have brought mine too. Check this out. This whole, you need to read the whole psalm here, of Psalm 62. It's about depending on God, okay? It's a psalm of David. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and read what I want to read. Verse 1. I'll stop where I'm ready to teach. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. You know David wrote this. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. How long will we imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. Verse 4. They only counsel to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now, you know the word soul there is nephesh. We taught that on the battle for the mind about what nephesh was. Remember that? 53:15. It is what? What is nephesh? It's the seed of the appetite. That's the soul. The seed of the appetite. So read it that way. My soul, or the seed of my appetite, my desires, my emotions. You know the thing that drives you wild? It says, wait thou only upon God. Now the word wait there, I'm going to give it to you in the Hebrew. It's D-A-M-A-M. D-A-M-A-M. Daman. Is how it's pronounced. 1826. 1826. Daman. D-A-M-A-M. Now watch this. He said, my soul, the seed of my appetite, wait thou only upon God. Again, the word wait there, it's translated daemon, but it means to be silent. And it goes a little deeper than that. It means to be dumb. Dumb is somebody that can't speak. So it's silent, but then it goes a little deeper and says to be dumb. So what we're going to see here is that if we are going to expect anything from God, we must have our nephesh under control. We have to have the soulical man to where he is silent, our flesh to where it's silent, and to the point to where it's dumb, it's muted, so that we can get what we expect from God. Because how many of y'all know when you're really expecting something from God and you make that prayer of faith and you let it go, what happens next? Your flesh starts freaking out. Come on, your mind runs wild. It's never going to happen. It's not going to happen to me. I'm never going to get this. This is crazy. Whatever, whatever. But we have to have that under control. And I'm going to prove that in just a minute, the way that David spoke this, okay? So my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now the word expectation, here it is, T-I-Q-V-A-H, T-I-Q-V-A-H. Tikvah is how you pronounce it, Tikvah, 8615, 8615, T-I-Q-V-A-H, Tikvah. Now, it means to hope. Okay, that's one word. So my soul, my nefesh, be silent. Be quiet as I am waiting on the Lord, for my expectation is from him. Now, the word, again, means hope. But you ready for the second meaning? It also means cord, C-O-R-D, cord. Like in rope. Woo-wee. See, David was in trouble. David had enemies. This is when he wrote Psalm 62. He was in trouble. And he said, my nefesh, my soul, be quiet, be silent. Because I put my hope, my expectation on God. He is my cord. He is the one I hold on to. He is the one that is my rope. He's my security and he's my safety. And David, as you read his writings here and other places, he's like this. He's like, I'm holding on to God and I ain't letting go. I'm expecting God to get me out of this trouble. I'm in a mess and I expect God to help me and I'm holding on to this cord. Woo! Glory to God. See, too many of us, we let the cord go. We just let it go and do freestyle. Buddy, I'm holding on to that cord. I'm wrapping around my legs, my waist, my neck, my under. I'm going to be, I look like, the mummy. I'm going to be wrapped up in cord, Jesus cord. I'm serious about that. Well, you just lean on God too much. You better believe it. He's all I got. I got to lean on him every day. I'm going to tell you something right now. I am not cutting this cord. I'm not letting the cord go. I'm not jumping out of the plane unless I know I'm attached to the cord. And this is exactly what David was implying here, that he was in trouble. And he said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm not going to listen to anybody else. I'm not going to depend upon anybody else. Do you see the prayer of expectancy? It's that kind of abandonment to the rest of the world to where you pray. You say, God, you're the only one I have. I expect you. I don't expect brother and so-and-so to help me out or sister and so-and-so to bail me out. I'm not expecting anybody to rescue me. I am holding on to you. Man, we need prayers like that again in the house of God. We need prayers like that again in our personal lives. Said, I'm holding on. I'm not going to let go. Ecclesiastes 4:12, a three-cord strand is not easily broken or quickly broken. Threefold cord. I mean, you can't break this thing. I'm holding on to God. I'm going to tell you something. The church is going to have to start learning these prayers again in the coming days. Your days of skating and getting by and drive-through relationship with God are slowly coming to an end. They really are. And we're going to have to learn these basic principles again about trusting God. So he says, I'm wrapping myself up in you, God. I'm just, forget it. I don't want help from anybody else. I don't trust anything. I'm just going to wrap myself up in you. Amen? Jeremiah 29, and I'm going to get out of your way so you can go home and snore and count sheep. And I've tried counting sheep. Does that really work? I don't think it works. Jeremiah chapter 29. Watch this. Tell me when you're there. We've heard this a billion times. It's an awesome scripture. Imagine it's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Okay? Now, the word for thought, when he says, I know the thoughts that I think, the word for thoughts there, it means this. It means plans. And you can look up the word in the Hebrew, but plans, purposes, device. But it goes a step further. Inventions. Inventions. I'll put it all together in a minute. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. So I know the plans, the purposes, the devices, and inventions. God has invented a future for you. You got to discover your destiny. You got to discover why I was born and what did you invent for me, Jesus. Man, I felt the anointing on that. Because there is an invention from God for you. There is a purpose. There's a plan. There's a device. Now watch. Towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. The word there for expectation or expected end, it means for a prophetic future. A prophetic future. So when I look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I understand that God has invented for me, he's designed for me, he's designed for you a prophetic future. Prophetic meaning he already knows the end from the beginning. And that I'm supposed to hang on to him and hang on to the reality through expectancy that he's going to give me an end that is awesome. A blessed end. An end that is prophetic. An end that he intended for me and you to have. Well, you know what? If I know my end and it's a future invention and he devised a plan for me and he has a purpose for me, then why don't we enjoy the ride we're on now full of expectancy to wake up the next day and say, man, I expect God to do something awesome. But we don't. We fumble and bumble out of bed and we mumble and grumble into the day and in life, kicking cans and kicking stones, instead of recognizing and realizing he's already planned something awesome for you. You may not be everywhere he's intended for you to be, but you're going to get there, and you can only get there through expectancy. Not through complaining, crying, and just, you know, barking at the moon. You got to speak to your future. Amen? And that's the prayer of expectancy. I communicate. Remember, prayer means communication, communion. I communicate with God expectancy. Why? Because he's already expected it for me. He's already placed it there for me. And there's expectancy in heaven. There's expectancy in our heart. So we should be agreeing with each other. How can two walk together unless they agree? So I'm going to agree with heaven. I'm not going to agree with my pay stub. I'm not going to agree with somebody bickering and getting mad at me. I'm not going to agree with the atmosphere or my home or whatever I have. I'm going to agree with the word of God that I have a prophetic future. And a guarantee of God's in it, it's got to be awesome. I didn't say you're driving Bentleys and everybody's going to get a 10-story house. I didn't say that. But you can expect great things from God. Because he has a plan for you. And we need this in these last days. So the prayer of expectancy. The prayer of expectancy, it's a cord of faith. It's a cord of faith. We hold on to that cord. That's what the prayer of expectancy is. You hold on to that cord of faith, the cord of his promises, and you don't let go until you get your answer. You don't let go. Don't let nobody knock you off that cord. Don't let nobody knock you off your path and the promises of God. I had many, many times to quit. had many opportunities to not stand where I am right now. But there's a future for all of us. Amen? And no matter what it looks like tomorrow morning, no matter what's going on in the world, we have a prophetic future that's been designed for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the words tonight. I ask that we would continue with the prayer of expectancy. You know, Lord, we expect heaven. We really do. We expect that should this be our last day, that we'll be in heaven, the streets of gold, and there's that building and home you promised us, and we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the rivers of life. We're going to see the trees that have leaves for the healing of the nations. We're going to see your throne. All the promises of your word, we believe that we'll receive them. Father, help us to do that now while we're still living, to believe your word, because we're going to have faith, faith that moves mountains for those refugees and those that are sick and those that are displaced and those that are lost over the coming years. We're going to have to be, even for our family right now that is wayward, we've got to be the most stable hand in the room. God, I believe that you're raising up Ignited Church to be a spiritual hospital, to be a shelter for those that are going to be in the storm, to bring them into a safe haven and to help them. I believe that we are the harvesters of the last day harvest. And I pray for everybody listening to the sound of my voice tonight that you would pray the prayer of expectancy. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen and amen. I love you.